evening's reading is from the first book of Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. Paul's gratitude for God's mercy. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one, who never dies. He alone is God. Amen.
This coming year, 2019, I'll have been at TABS for 20 years. It seems an awful long time. First came in November of 1999, was here just before the millennium. And this will be our 20th year. I've been around quite a long time. And there are so many joys to being at this church and so many joys to being a pastor as well. Marrying people, dedicating their children, having baptisms like this one tonight. Huge privileges and great, great joys. But one of the great other great joys when you've been somewhere for a long time is to see young babies grow into young children and young children grow into young adults and young adults become grown and then go off and make their own way into the world and go off into the world of work and start their own families and bring their children back and even one or two who've gone into ministry and now have their own churches and are preachers around the place. It's a huge, huge joy. And that's the process that we've gone through with Bridget and the whole Turner family over the last, 13 or 15 years or so, since they came, maybe even a little bit longer, and joined the church here. I told a story a few weeks ago about how at a candlelit service here in church, a few years ago, not that long ago, Bridget, you weren't that young, I looked up during the sermon and saw Bridget and you, Christine, standing on the balcony with their candles. In fact, it must have been during the worship at the beginning, with their candles, dripping wax onto the people who were sat below and seeing how much wax could they drip onto people before they were spotted. And at the end of the service, I went up into the balcony and underneath Bridget's seat, I just found this huge pile of wax. Where, when I caught her out and gave her a stare, she just burnt all the candles around her and burnt a huge pile of wax. And it was up there for a couple of weeks until we were able to chip it all away and clean it up. She very carefully been as naughty as she could be while she was up there. You know, the truth is, Bridget wasn't always the best behaved child when she was in Sunday school. But she was quite cute. So she could get away with a huge amount. She'd just smile at you, and it was quite hard to tell her off. And she wasn't always content, really, to join in with things. If she could sit back and put her feet up, get a coffee maybe or a drink and just relax, then that's what she preferred to do. She was never the one down the front joining in the action songs, were you, in the games. You're far too cool for that. So, what are you laughing at? Because I could always show a picture of you as well when you were that age. It's funny, isn't it, Joe, when they do that to people like that? It's just so funny. I know. They just come from such a photogenic family. So what am I saying? Well, funnily enough, we can leave that one up a bit, it's fine. Believe it or not, and looking at that cute picture of the little 8-year-old or whatever she was at the time, you might find it hard to believe, but Bridget wasn't a perfect child. Just now and then, like all children, she could be a little bit challenging. One of the great heroes of the Christian faith was a man named Paul. He was a famous preacher and teacher who started dozens of churches all around the ancient world. He would travel all around the Roman world. And as he went, he would find the local synagogues and go into the local markets, and he would preach good news about Jesus Christ. He would tell people about Jesus and the gospel. And if people believed, and he would gather them all together, and he would start a new church, start new congregations. And then when he'd started a new congregation, he'd go on to the next town and he'd do the same process over again. And from time to time, he'd write back to the churches that he'd started and left behind, and he'd send them some advice and some teaching and some guidance. And if they were getting things a bit wrong, he would correct them. And we have those letters today. The letters that Paul wrote to send to the churches to guide them. We have them today. And the reason we have them is because they're in the Bible. In fact, the writings of Paul, this man, the Apostle Paul, make up the bulk of what we call the New Testament. The second half of the Bible were written by this man, Paul. But Paul wasn't always a great Christian hero of the faith. He wasn't always a great man and a good man. As a younger man, he'd been really, really different. In our reading tonight, which John read for us, we read about what he was like. He says, I was once a blasphemer. I would use the name of God wrongly. I would use the name of Jesus as a swear word. I would blaspheme, and my mouth wasn't right. And he goes on to say, and I was a persecutor of the early church. I would chase down and hurt and try to kill the early Christians. He says, I was a violent man. And he goes on to say, I was ignorant. And I acted out of unbelief. And then he says this, because I was the worst of sinners. I was the one who got things so spectacularly wrong. See, Paul was a great hero of the faith and a wonderful Christian man. But he was also someone who knew that he fell short by God's standards. He didn't make the grade as far as God was concerned. He always fell short of what God expects. Paul wrote his letters, although he lived in the Roman world and he was often writing to Romans, the common language at the time and the language people used to write letters was Greek. And he would write in the ancient Greek language. And that phrase, falling short, not reaching the standard expected, has a word in Greek. And it's the word hamartia. It means a flaw, a failing, a falling short. But when we translate that word today, falling short or hamartia, we translate it as sin. I just got things wrong. What Paul said in his letter to the Christians in Rome was this. He said, we all fall short, for all sin and all fall short of the glory of God. He goes on to say, it doesn't matter how hard we try. It doesn't matter how hard we try to be good. It doesn't matter how cute we are. It doesn't matter how clever we are. It doesn't matter how rich we are. It doesn't matter how much we give to charity. It doesn't matter how much good work we do. It doesn't matter how nice we are. We all fall short of the glory of God. All of us sin. All of us get things wrong. It doesn't matter how hard we try, he said. We hurt one another. We hurt those that we love. We hurt strangers. We act selfishly. We hurt God with our actions. And when Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners, what he says in other places is, in fact, we're all the worst of sinners. It's not just people who drip wax from balconies. We're all sinners, and we all fall short. But in our reading tonight, Paul is writing to a young man, a young pastor who's looking after his own church. And he says this in verse 15 of our reading tonight. We're all sinners. We all get it wrong. We're all the worst of sinners. But notice this and remark it. And it's a worthy saying that deserves full acceptance. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to rescue sinners. He came to save sinners. He said, we're all sinners. We all get it wrong. But here's good news, and it's worth listening to, he says. This is worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which you know, he says, I'm the worst. I've been in this church, I said 20 years, but I've been in ministry for 30 years almost coming up. And one of the things I've discovered over all those years is that many people who don't go to church and who don't know many Christians and who maybe have never been to Sunday school or anything like that, they just think Christians are the most arrogant of people. They think that we think we're so much better than everyone else. Oh, you're always looking down on people. You're always telling other people they've got things wrong. And they look at Christians and they just think that we're so arrogant. They sometimes look at Christians and think that we think that we're better than other people. They think that because that we believe that we're the good people, we're the good guys, and we're going to go to heaven because we're such good guys and God likes us so much and everyone else we look down on. When in fact, the exact opposite is true. See, what Christians have realized is that all of us get things wrong. All of us mess up. All of us are the worst of sinners. The truth is that Christians don't think they're better than other people. Christians actually think and understand they're worse. That they've got things wrong and they need help. A Christian isn't someone who goes to church. A Christian isn't even someone who believes in God. Even the devil believes in God. A Christian isn't someone who believes in God. Christians are people who've acknowledged actually what bad people they really are. They're people who've said, oh, woe is me, I'm the worst of sinners, just like Paul did. They've acknowledged how bad they really are, and they've asked God for mercy and help. Paul says this, he says, I'm the worst of sinners, but he goes on in verse 16, but for this very reason, he says, I was shown mercy. Once I knew how bad I was, and I turned to God, and I called out to him for help, then I turned to God, and for this very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might show his unlimited patience as an example for others who would believe on him. See, Paul knew he was not perfect. Paul knew he was actually a terrible sinner. He knew he needed rescuing. That's why he trusted in Jesus. That's why he asked him to help him. I am not perfect. I know what a terrible sinner I am. I often say from this platform, if you knew what I was really like, you'd fire me as your pastor. None of us are perfect. And I've got some news for you. That cute little 8-year-old girl, she's not perfect either. We've all get things wrong. And this may come as a shock, but actually Bridget's a terrible sinner. But we all are. We all need Jesus. So at one point, and we're going to hear about this in a moment, Bridget said, Jesus, will you come into my life? I don't want to live my way anymore because that's not working out. I want to follow your way. And now she has a new life with a new meaning, a new direction. And this baptism that we're going to perform in just a very few moments now is a symbol, a sign of that decision she made. She's going to be washed. She's going to be buried. She's going to come out and start a new life. We talk about the symbol of burial in baptism. We're going to lay her down into this grave and bury her. And then she's going to rise to a new life. She asked Jesus into her life, and now she's got new life. And one day, many, many decades from now, I pray, because of God's goodness, not because of her goodness, she'll get to go and spend eternity with him. Not because she's good enough, but because God is. What the Bible teaches is this, is all of us get it wrong. It may seem little things to us, it may be huge, whopping great things, but we all get things wrong. We're all selfish. We all tell lies. Oh, there are only little white lies. Doesn't matter. Pass marks 100%. We get it wrong in the little things. We're still getting the test wrong. We all hurt other people, intentionally and unintentionally. We're all selfish at times. All of us get it wrong. And all of us deserved punishment for that. But Jesus said, let me take your place. I'll take the punishment for you. Let me stand in for you. So at the cross, he was punished that we might be forgiven and get a fresh beginning. When Bridget goes into this water in just a few moments' time now, is it because she thinks that she's better than anyone else? Is it? No. I'm glad you said that. Like so many believers before her, she's come to that point in her life where she said, actually, I need help, God. And you're the only one who can help me. I've got things wrong. I'm a sinner. She was able to say, but here is a trustworthy saying of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's a promise for all people at all time. May now the road rise up to meet you. May the sun be warm upon your back. May the rain fall soft about you. And until we meet again, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, both this night and forevermore. Amen. Let's close by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.